What's going on, everybody? I hope you're all enjoying the week, because today is hump day, and you know what that means. Here on the Half Hour of Power, Wednesdays means it's the Power Rankings Show. All 32 teams ranked from worst to first, just for you. I'll tell you why each team is where. So let's get right into the hard-hitting action with the Power Rankings. Yeah, baby! Okay, now before I work my way up the power rankings, let me give you the four ways to get in contact with the show. You can send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com, or you can add me on Skype, beastchild09. Or of course, if you have a MySpace, add the show, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power. Or visit the almighty website on the web, it's thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. That's thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. So let's get right into the power rankings. 32nd to first. Yeah, yeah. What's going on, everybody? Beast Child back in the house for this Halloween afternoon, and happy Halloween to all of you guys out there, guys and gals listening to the show. Let's get right into this week's power rankings, but first, quick piece of NFL news. Tony Romo re-signed for 6 years, and he locked him up, so that is good news for the Cowboys. Now let's get right into the power rankings. Number 32, the Miami Dolphins, 0-8. What more can I say about this team? They've lost Ronnie Brown for the season. They lost Chris Chambers forever. nothing looking too good for them. Cleo Lemon might even be losing his job at this point. The St. Louis Rams also 0-8, number 31 in the rankings. And that is that. I mean, it's pretty simple. There isn't really too much to talk about them. But Steven Jackson is back at full strength. But wait, he got injured in the game, so that is more bad news for them. Mark Bulger, Torrey Holt played. Torrey Holt got over 100 yards, so that's good news. Number 30, the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons, they are having troubles as well at 1-7, and a lot of that is because Jarius Norwood isn't getting the carries that I expect him to carry. Right now, it's like 75-25 to work done, getting the 75% of the carries. And I think that's wrong. I think Jarius Norwood should be getting the majority of those carries, and he's not. And, until they can figure that out, D'Angelo Hall also having some problems on and off the field. Now let's go to the next team, the New York Jets, number 29. They're 1-7, and this team is much worse than a lot of us thought coming into the season. I mean, just to tell you how much I know, I had the Dolphins winning 8 games. And, you know, unless they win the next 8, then I'll be right. But I have the Jets definitely winning more than one game this season, and it's not looking too good at 1-7 right now. And it's not like they have any upside at all. Jericho Cotter and Lavernius Coles, their wide receiving core, is really all they have on offense. Their defense, they lost Jonathan Vilma for the season. More bad news, and I really don't know what to say. I mean, Mangini may be a man genius, but he really doesn't have any players to play with. So now let's move to the next team, the Buffalo Bills at number 28. Yes, they're still at number 28. They have a pretty good record, but I have to see what they can do this week against the Bengals. They're 3-4, and we're going to learn a lot from them going up against, I'm not going to say a good team. I mean, we're going to get to the Bengals next, but I feel like the Bengals have way more upside than these guys. And Trent Edwards even got injured. J.P. Loseman came in for him, threw an 85-yard bomb to Lee Evans. But we'll see how they fare this week. The next team is the Cincinnati Bengals, as I said, 2-5. Yes, the Bengals have a worse record, or not as good a record, but I think that the Bengals are a better team than the Bills, and you might see that reflected in my picks, or you might see an upset special, but the Bengals, you know who they are, I know who they are. If they play good defense, they're a good team. Next team, 26, a drop from last week, the first shuffle, the Oakland Raiders, 2-5, they are struggling. They lost to the Tennessee Titans in what was an ugly game. This week they play the Houston Texans, a game that will be televised in the Bay Area over the Indianapolis Colts-New England Patriots game. That is, good news. What? That's terrible! So anyway, the Oakland Raiders, they're 2-5, and right at this point, I'm just waiting to see Jamarcus Russell. Maybe the fans will actually have a reason to go to the game. Minnesota Vikings at number 25, they are 2-5. The only two things that they have going for them is rookie sensation Adrian Peterson and that hit him in the mouth run defense. But their run defense hasn't been too hard so far because they're not number one anymore. So they are at 2-5. Now let's go to another 2-5 team back in the Bay Area. San Francisco at number 24. The 49ers got shellacked by the New Orleans Saints. Coming into this game, I was expecting the Niners to, put up some points, maybe see what I expected coming into the season, because they had their players at full strength. They finally got Alex Smith back, but clearly, they are not at 100%. Either that, or they're really this bad, but I sure hope that they're not really this bad, because I really, I thought I saw some glimpse of brightness from Alex Smith last year. Now, number 23, the Chicago Bears, 3-5, still having quarterback trouble. Brian Griese throws three picks in the end zone, four picks total against the Detroit Lions, looking like Rex Grossman back there. And in reality, what we have between Rex Grossman and Brian Griese is two quarterbacks that are either going to have a really ridiculously good day, they're going to do nothing, or they're going to lose the game. There's no consistency at all. You can pretty much, pick cards from the hat. You can put three cards in the hat, pick one of them, and that's what's going to happen each week. He's either going to do nothing, he's going to be in the negatives, or just go off crazy finding Bernard Berrien, and all they have on offense is nothing. Unless they put Devin Hester on offense, then they have a bit of a spark. But number 22, Arizona Cardinals, have some sparks on offense. They can't seem to find it with quarterback troubles, but Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin coming off a bye. Hopefully, Kurt Warner won't be wearing that bionic arm, and they can finally get something going on offense against, I believe it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're 3-4, and they are the Arizona Cardinals. Number 21, Denver Broncos at 3-4 as well. I don't know if I should even have them this high, but what did I see on Monday Night Football? I saw Brett Favre bombing it down to James Jones and Greg Jennings, burning Dre Bly and Champ Bailey. And what did that tell me about Champ Bailey? He's not at full strength. Neither is this defense. They lost John Lynch yesterday for the game. That wasn't good news. We're still trying to find out if he's how he's doing. I don't even think he practiced on Tuesday. So we'll see what happens. Today is Wednesday, October 31st. Of course, Halloween. And that's that. So the Denver Broncos still looking for some of that. Jay Cutler, I don't know, he played pretty well. The only turnover they had in that game was on the goal line when they fumbled, hit off the left guard. That's no one's fault. It's just going to happen from time to time. So Broncos at 21, but number 20 is the Philadelphia Eagles. They went up since last week because now they're at 3-4. Philadelphia Eagles, I don't know, Donovan McNabb got over the 300-yard mark. That's very good. Brian Westbrook. Reggie Brown finally showed up to the game. He got on the right bus this time. That's good news. Their defense, they're the Philadelphia Eagles. And this week they're playing the Dallas Cowboys, a top-notch offense, and we'll see them in primetime on Sunday Night Football. Check that one out. So now let's go to the next game, number 19. The Houston Texans, 3-5. Yes, the Texans are still up that high, but trust me, they're on their way down the power rankings. I'm giving them one last chance against the Oakland Raiders. I assume they're going to win that game. I sure as hell hope they'll win that game. But I want to see how they play. Do they win an ugly game, or do they really come out showing that they're a good team, and that the teams they beat early weren't just, bottom-of-the-barrel teams that just got by? So that's the Houston Texans. Granted, they're having injury problems. We'll see if Matt Schwab can finally find receivers other than Andre Johnson. Number 18, the Kansas City Chiefs at 4-3. Herm Edwards putting together a very good team. I don't think anyone expected this team to be at 4-3. In my opinion, they were competing for last place with the Oakland Raiders. Who's going to get that top draft pick? But they're actually doing very well. They're at the top of this division, fighting against San Diego Chargers that are also at 4-3. But they need help on defense, and that is where they're struggling. So if they can get that going, Dwayne Bowe gives them pretty good offensive spark. Of course, Tony Gonzalez there, and of course, the reliable running game in Larry Johnson if they can get that going. At number 17, we have the Seattle Seahawks, also at 4-3, and I really don't know what to make of this team. You know, I pretty much say that every week, and they never really show me anything. They're coming off a bye this week. But, you know, I mean, we've seen them kill the San Francisco 49ers 23-3 on the road, but now we've learned the Niners aren't that good of a team, and we've seen them at home get smacked around by the New Orleans Saints. We've seen them get smacked 21-0 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, so I really don't know, you know, what to make of this team, and I probably won't for the rest of the season, so I'll just say that every time. I'll give you their record, and I'll tell you what happened in the games. That is that, at least that's one team I don't have to worry about. Next one, number 16, the New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints, I talked about this in my Topics and Opinions show, kind of turning on the Jets here. They are 3-4 right now. I know, they're still below 500, but this week, they have a chance to get up to 500, to turn on that four-game winning streak and kind of, you know, get the juices flowing. They play against Jacksonville, so it's going to be a tough game. But if they can pull this one out, you know, it's looking pretty good for the rest of the season. Next team, the Cleveland Browns at number 15. Yes, Cleveland Browns are halfway there. They're at number 15 in the power rankings. 4-3 on their way up. This week they play another team by the name of the Seattle Seahawks. Isn't that something? And so I'll say I'll learn a lot about the Seahawks this week just to save myself. But back to the Cleveland Browns. Derek Anderson, second in the league in touchdown passes. And they really have an offense that that Browns fans have finally something to cheer about for the first time in, what is it, like 90 years? Number 14, the Carolina Panthers, 4-3. This team has a winning record. I know they lost to the Colts, but what can you say? This week, they try to you know, start competing in that division with the Saints, with the Buccaneers. They're in first place right now. They're trying to hold that. And, you know, I like what I see with the Carolina Panthers, that defense finally clicking a little bit. The offense still having some quarterback troubles, David Carr. And, and by the way, another thing about the Houston Texans, I think I already talked about them, but now we've learned that David Carr, he really is the problem. He really is, because back when he was in Houston, you know, the excuse was offensive lines, the offensive line, it's okay. But now we see that David Carr really is the problem. Vinny Testaverde is playing better than them, but, you know, they have injury problems all over the place in Carolina, so that's unfortunate. And that also, that's too bad for Steve Smith, what was the number one receiver in the NFL coming into this year. Now let's go to another team in that division. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 4-4, yes. I believe the Buccaneers are better than the Carolina Panthers, because I think the Buccaneers have a better offense. They have, with Joey Galloway, you know. Okay, maybe Steve Smith's better than Joey Galloway, but they have a quarterback to throw to him in Jeff Garcia. Quarterback that hadn't thrown a pick until this last game, which, granted, he threw three. Now he's below Tom Brady, but he hadn't thrown a pick, so you know he can control the ball. I guess you could say they have a running game. But Ernie Graham kind of taking the load, putting it on his shoulders and running with it. Now they have Michael Bennett just in case, and this defense is still an elite defense. I don't care what anyone says, they have veterans, and they're a good team. Now number 12 is the Washington Redskins. 4-3, the Redskins are, they're still good. 4-3, okay, maybe a lot of teams in this right here, in this little section, are at 4-3, but these guys just lost to the Patriots last week. I'm not taking anything from that game. Sure, they have to take a little bit of a maybe one or two rank dip, but, you know, what can I say? Everyone's going to lose to the Patriots, except for maybe the Colts. Eh? Anybody? Hold on, I'll get to my picks on Friday, but that is the Indianapolis, what am I saying? That is the Washington Redskins, 4-3. Number 11, the 5-2 Detroit Lions. Yes, 5-2, a very good record, but still, I'm still kind of unsure about this defense. Now they're playing against Denver, so, I mean, I don't know that they'll be challenged that much by Denver. But, you know, whatever. Week by week, we'll see if they can continue to win, and we'll see if they can get this record up to 10 wins like John Kidna predicted preseason. Number 10, the Baltimore Ravens. My Baltimore Ravens, may I add. They're 4-3, and I'm feeling a bit uneasy about my Baltimore Ravens, I must say. I'm not as confident as I've been in years past. They, at number 10, I think that's where they should be. I think they're still better than the Detroit Lions. But this week, this Monday night, they play against the Pittsburgh Steelers in what's going to be a very interesting game. Many say Pittsburgh Steelers may be a top three team, maybe number three behind the Colts and the Patriots. I disagree, but, you know, just because when it comes down to up that high, you really just have to go by the schedule or by their record and how they're doing. But in all honesty, I mean, the Steelers are a very good team. The Ravens, I don't know, I feel like they can be a good team. I feel like they can, you know, shut someone out with that defense. Trevor Price still has that broken hand that he's been suffering through, you know, he hasn't been able to play since the beginning of the season, and this week he's probable. So that's I guess you could say that's some good news. But when it comes down to it, the Ravens, you know, they're having little injuries here and there, but they really just need to get it together. That offense, Kyle Bowler, okay, stick with him. Willis McGahee is a top five rusher in the NFL, so he has given them a better spark than Jamal Lewis. We know that this offense has improved, and so now it's just a matter of the defense just, you know, just get down and get as well as you were last year. Just play hard, and led by Ray Lewis, I feel like that's something they're very capable of doing. Number 9, the San Diego Chargers. Talked about them yesterday in the Topics and Opinions show. They are 4-3, and this team is really back to the caliber that they were last year. Sure, they're 4-3. Last year, they only lost 2 games, now they've already lost 3. Okay, but whatever, they had a rough start, but we know what this team can do. When they win 41-3, what was it last week, 35-10 or something? I mean, we know that this team can turn on the Jets. LT can find the end zone at least 2 times. Antonio Gates, now Chris Chambers through the air, Vincent Jackson, as we know. And, I mean, don't even get me started on the defense. Sean Merriman, Sean Phillips, all these guys rushing the passer. We know how good of a team this can be, and we know that it can be an elite team. And so the San Diego Chargers at 4-3, they're definitely on their way up at number 9. Now let's go to number 8. If you've ever heard the term winning ugly, the Tennessee Titans, you know, you gotta put that logo right next to the entry in the dictionary, because this team, oh my god, playing in defense, they have a quarterback that wins games. I mean, they haven't had him too much, but they had him last game against the Raiders, and just week in, week out, 5-2, the Tennessee Titans, still waiting for that Madden curse to kind of strike them. Vince Young goes down for the rest of the season, but that really isn't going to affect them, because we've seen Kerry Collins be effective with this team. We know this defense led by Keith Bullock. You know, I haven't checked his stats lately, but I know a couple weeks ago he was front runner for Defensive Player of the Year. I know, it's early, but who knows? Tennessee Titans, Albert Haynesworth, maybe the best defensive tackle in the NFL. These guys really have something going for them, and coached by Jeff Fisher, it doesn't get too much better than that, I'll tell you that much. 5-2. Let's go to another 5-2 team, another South team. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 7. They took a bit of a drop this week, but it's not because, you know, I mean, they won. It's not because of how they performed. It's just because of the other teams just really playing well. And you'll see that with the Steelers as well. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, Quinn Gray coming in. Hey, he won the game. 1 start, 1 victory. That's all I see on the record. But let's be honest, they're not as good with Quinn Gray as they were with David Garrard. And clearly, David Garrard been better than Byron Leftwich. So a good decision by Jack Del Rio. Leftwich having injury problems in Atlanta. So a good choice for him. As far as running backs go, you know, they got him. Maurice Jones-Drew, Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor really getting the yards. Maurice Jones-Drew getting the catches. And, you know, those just breakaway plays and even some goal line plunges. So I really like both of these guys. I really like what they have going on offense. Dennis Northcutt looks like a pretty good receiver. I mean, you're not going to put him in the elite class with Reggie Wayne, TJ Hushmanzada, those guys. But he is definitely becoming a guy that can catch balls when they're thrown to him. And in reality, that's what you need by a wide receiver, one who receives, thus the name. So the Jacksonville Jaguars, top 5 defense, we know they're good. Let's go to another 5-2 team, the last one on the list. At number 6, the Pittsburgh Steelers, led by Big Ben, fast Willie Parker, wide receivers like Santonio Holmes, Hines Ward. Look at that defense, defensive line, Casey Hampton, those linebackers, secondary, led by Troy Polamalu. I don't know that it gets a whole lot better than this for an overall team. Obviously, Patriots and the Colts are at number 1 and 2, but The Pittsburgh Steelers, they are an elite team, and they're a well-balanced team. They're not like some of these teams, like, I'll use my team, the Ravens, for example, who are fully defensive, and they start, you know, kind of building the offense here and there. Oh, they got a spark from Willis McGahee. But no, the Steelers are a balanced team. They find, you know, when they win games, they straight up just dominate. And when they lose, you know, we haven't really seen them go into a game, just get completely shut out, not do anything on offense or defense, just, you know, play some high school football. We've really seen this team go out week in and week out, and that is props to Mike Tomlin. You know, they have two losses. One of them coming on that crazy Arizona game where, I guess, Ken Whisenhunt, it might have been that former coach against former team, or coach against former team type of thing, where he just knows the scheme, whatever. That game they only lost by a touchdown on a punt return. And the other game we saw was against Jason Elam and the Denver Broncos, just kicking that field goal. He tried to call the timeout, did it too early. It's okay. You're a first-year coach. But Mike Tomlin, props to you, my friend. You're doing a good job with your Pittsburgh Steelers. Offense and defense is very good, and that's what I like to see out of a team. I like a balanced team, perfect team to use in the video games, if you know what I'm saying. Nice little mobile quarterback, some good QB vision, but that's that. Now let's move to the next team. Number 5, the New York Giants, the G-Men, coming on their way back from London. They got a nice little trip to London, you know, some nice little rain. Eli Manning runs into the end zone, and took him, you know, he got on his wheelchair. He kind of took his cane there. It took him about 3 years to get into the end zone. Okay, he's slow, but he got in. They won 13-10. Now, I kind of realized this looking back on this game. They didn't really win this game too much. Early in the game, they drove down, and I believe they either fumbled the snap or turned it over something right on the goal line. Then Dolphins take the ball all the way back, and they miss a field goal. Jay Feely, the kicker, that had hit every one the whole season. He's hit every field goal. Then he misses one, so he missed it, right? That would have been 3 points that they would have gotten. The final score, 13-10. You know, who knows? Dolphins kicker Jay Feely kicks that one in, 13-13. Anything can happen in overtime, you know. Anything can happen. So, the Giants, whatever. They're 6-2. And in the end, that's what matters. It doesn't matter how you win. You play to win the game. Hello? So, the New York Giants, I like another balanced team, as I was saying. They have good receiving core, Plaxico Burress, Amani Toomer, and obviously Eli Manning looking like a capable quarterback this year. Running backs, they got a three-headed monster led by Brandon Jacobs, who really went off this week. I believe he led the league in rushing. And that defensive line, which we know is going to put you on your back. They're going to put the ball on the ground, and who knows, maybe they'll pick that ball up and run into the end zone. Number 4, the Dallas Cowboys. They're 6-1. Tony Romo is still the beast. And you kind of forget about teams when they go on by. You know, I was setting up my fantasy lineups, my first draft, as I say, fantasy lineups this week. And I was really considering Tony Romo against guys like Jeff Garcia or Jason Campbell or something, and I slapped myself in the face and said, what am I talking about? Tony Romo is still the beast. And this team, they've only lost one game to the New England Patriots. And what can I say? The Patriots, they're just the Patriots. And so they've lost one game. Other than that, 6-0. And still a very good team. They win ugly games like Brett Favre, like Vince Young. Tony Romo is a winner. I don't care if he throws 6 interceptions in the first 3 quarters. Heck, in the first 3 quarters and half the first quarter, he'll go out there and they'll kick a game-winning field goal on Monday Night Football. If you know what I'm saying, Bills fans. Ha ha, that's what you get. But this another balanced team. I think their secondary, even their whole defensive unit, could use some bolstering up, if you know what I'm saying. But Terrell Owens, Patrick Creighton, Terry Glenn, who's injured, Sam Hurd, you know, this is a very capable offense. Marion Barber III and Julius Jones make for a very good duo. So I like what I see there with the two-headed monster in Dallas. And, you know, that's what you need. You just need some distribution, and you need to get the ball in the end zone. In the end, that's what matters. And what better team to do that than number 3? Yes, number 3. It's an NFC team. It's the Green Bay Packers. A lot of people flipping back right now. Oh my god, he hasn't said the Green Bay Packers yet, but they're at number 3. Call me crazy, but they have, you know, two teams have 6-1 records. It's either going to be the Cowboys or the Packers at number 3, or maybe the Giants. But between the Packers and the Cowboys, if they played each other, hey, I don't know, the games in Lambeau, I'd take the Packers. Games in Dallas, I'd think about it. I would think about it. But Brett Favre, the guy's a beast. Running game, who needs it? I mean, they'll take a 100-yard rusher out of a guy nobody's ever heard of. Ryan Grant, I think his name was. They'll take 100 yards, trust me. I mean, they're gonna rush the ball something like 15, 20 times if they see it's working. And clearly it was Monday night against the worst run defense in the NFL. Who's not going to be able to rush against the Denver Broncos? But Brett Favre straight up. I mean, look at Mike McCarthy. This guy's got the cojones, you know. Overtime. You're going into overtime on the road. You win the coin toss, obviously you're going to receive. And what does he do? Let's not fool around with the ball. Brett, pop it to Greg Jennings for the touchdown. Drop back, play action. What's going on? Okay, a little pump fake here and there. Look left and right. Hey, Greg Jennings, bomb it. And then at that point, he's running a 40. And we know he can do that better than Dre Bly. And obviously he did. They were beating double coverage all night long. Two key passes by Brett Favre to James Jones and to Greg Jennings. You know, he didn't just want to keep beating Champ Bailey. That's just beating a dead horse, you know, or a dead champ, as they say. But no offense to Champ Bailey. I mean, the guy's injured. I'll just use that as my excuse. But he wanted to distribute the ball. He did. And he gets the ball everywhere. Donald Lee, the tight end, he didn't get a touchdown on Monday night. But, you know, everyone knows that he is a capable guy. And everyone knows that the Green Bay Packers have weapons on offense. I like what I see there. Now let's get to the top two teams. We all know who they are. And for the most part, we all know what the order is. Except for Colts fans, if you know what I mean. The Indianapolis Colts at number 2, they're 7-0, and the New England Patriots. Let's just bunch these two teams up, and let's just compare them one by one. Okay, let's go by positions. Quarterback, we got Tom Brady, we got Peyton Manning. Who's better? Okay, well, a lot of people will say, obviously, you gotta go with Peyton Manning just because of the history. He's done it so consistently, and because he's on the sidelines, you look over at Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's always got a playbook in his hand. He's always talking to everybody next to him, you know, getting in sync with his wide receivers, all that. Tom Brady, I mean, everyone's seen him do it with no wide receivers. And so I'm just going to compare all these guys, all the positions, and then I'll go back and tell you who I'd take. So, Tom Brady's done it with no talent. Now he has talent, now he's going off. And Peyton Manning's just a stud. He gets the ball where no other quarterback can get it. Running backs, Ken Keith, Lawrence Maroney. I can't really make an argument for Lawrence Maroney, so just for that, what am I saying, Ken Keith? So just for that wins that argument. Now let's go to wide receivers. Here is where it gets tough. Marvin Harrison, well, he's had injury problems, let's be honest, so he's clearly not been at the top of his game. He hasn't been on the field, for crying out loud, but he's a veteran, and some say that this might be the best duo of all time. And over on the other side, they got Reggie Wayne against Dante Stallworth, and Randy Moss against Marvin Harrison. So, I don't know, that's tough. Now let's just go with the whole defensive unit. Patriots got the veterans, Bill Belichick, the defensive genius that he is. And on the other side, we have the young guys. Bob Sanders is really run game, pass game, he makes interceptions, he does everything. So now let me go on who I'd pick for each one. I'd have to take Tom Brady over Peyton Manning just because, I don't know, it's ridiculous what he does. Scores, I don't care, okay? The Colts were up 31-7. They could have scored 52 points if they wanted to make it 52-7. But that's not who they are. So, I don't care about the scoring. I'd still take Tom Brady. I would take the Colts wide receivers, but I would take the Patriots defense. It's just too ridiculous what Bill Belichick does with that team. So, that is the power rankings, all 32 teams ranked in order for you. I'd like to thank you for listening. Happy Halloween for October 31st. I've been Beast Child. Peace! Thank you for listening to TWHOP, the half hour of Power with Beast Child. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and if you want to talk back to me, send me an email, beastchild09@gmail.com. Or you can visit the almighty website, it's thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. Remember, if you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, tell your enemies. The TWHOP, the greatest invention since the Apple. This has been a Beast Child Media production for 2007. Peace out! halfhourofpower.googlepages.com.